for to fry. I would live in an apartment in Paris or in Cincinnati, and I would play my music loud and not apologize. I used to dream that I would marry a guy that looked like Charlie Sheen, and he would have a name like Gary, Steve, Todd, David. I used to dream I'd have three kids, and they would all look just like me, and I would force them kids to carry all my groceries. We don't need no goals, don't need human connection. Dreams are overrated, 'cause our life's already perfection. Now I know all that is true, 'cause all I really want is you and you and only you. Me, you.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guests are bringing their special brand of folk to the City Winery this weekend. The duo Garfunkel and Oates are well known for their TV show by the same name that ran on IFC in 2014. It's now available on Netflix. Garfunkel and Oates is the comedy duo of Ricky Lindholm and Kate Micucci. Lindholm is currently starring in Comedy Central's Another Period. Micucci can be seen in the Mike Birbiglia new movie, Don't Think Twice. They both continue to work in television, movie, and, of course, on stage, currently touring as Garfunkel and Oates, and with their summer special on Vimeo called Trying to Be Special, which has a song nominated for an Emmy.
And then you're frozen until I'm certain it's time to unthaw you into a person. Then you'll expire or you'll make the grade. And that, my darling, that's how babies are made.
So easy.
Baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna freeze you till she gets rich.
Garfunkel and Oates, welcome to The Download. Thanks for being here.
Wow, that was quite an intro.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful intro.
There you go.
I put it all together like that.
Yep, see?
How's it going?
It's going good. So there's a lot of, I know you guys met in LA at UCB, but did you guys decide to be a musical duo, or did you sort of get introduced to just because you had comic sensibilities together?
The musical duo, it came up later. We basically became friends. And then the writer's strike happened, and so we basically had nothing to do, and we decided to make a short together. And I realized, this is Ricky, I realized that Kate wrote funny songs, and I wrote funny songs, so we decided to turn the short into a musical, and we really liked writing songs together, so it kind of went from there.
Was the goal when you came to Hollywood to be writers, to be performers, both? I mean, what was the end goal for you? I'll start with you, Ricky.
I came just to be an actress. I did not know that I was going to be doing so many things.
This is Kate. I came out to LA to finish up college. I think I was really kind of scared to tell people I wanted to be an actress. And so I thought, oh, maybe I'll be a voice actress. And then I wouldn't have to worry about being in front of the camera because I was very shy. And then all of a sudden I kind of grew out of my shyness and started acting as well. So Ricky and I both were acting before we got into comedy.
What was it that drew you to comedy? Was it UCB? What was it in LA that got you started?
I mean, it was kind of the writer's strike. We basically had nothing to do for 9 months. And so we were like, well, let's see what else we have going on, because we're both creative. And I wrote funny songs on my own for years before I met Kate, and vice versa. And then it just felt like the right moment to dive into it.
Yeah, and I had been doing a show in Los Angeles for about a year prior to Garfunkel and Oates forming, and I loved the community of people, and then something kind of magical happened when Ricky and I started singing together, and singing these songs that were like a little bit dirty. Like it was very exciting, and we started going up around town in Los Angeles, and we thought, why don't we do an hour-long show, and we kind of just went from there. It sort of grew, but it really was YouTube that sort of informed us that we should continue, because we put a couple of songs on YouTube that had been in that short movie that Ricky had mentioned, and people from around the world started watching it. So we were like, oh, maybe we should write more.
We did not know people would watch YouTube videos.
Well, it's interesting because you guys, you know, have obviously had success in television and in movies, but that YouTube sensation, that just sitting on the couch playing songs, it was very raw, it was very organic. It was your comedy led, as opposed to any sort of the other stuff that goes along with putting a television or a movie together.
Oh, there was zero production value.
Yeah, I mean, those first videos, you can hear, like, the sound is terrible.
It's grainy.
Yeah. Maybe it worked to our advantage that we were just like, we really didn't know what we were doing, but it somehow worked. You know, it was, it really was YouTube that was like, hey, make more.
People might like this. Yeah.
Well, you guys have had quite a career together. I mean, you had a deal with HBO that turned into a digital series, and then you had the show on IFC. From having your own stuff to making that transition from YouTube videos to stage in LA at the UCB, other places, to actually having your own television show. Talk about that process. Was that a difficult process for you to be able to translate what you do to the screen?
It actually felt kind of natural, to be honest, because it'd been a long time. We'd really developed our voice as a band for a long time before we got the show, and we've been making all of our own stuff. Like, sometimes we had other directors on our video, but we were producing everything. We were casting everything. We had the whole web series on HBO. We've been slowly working our way toward it, and, you know, we knew how to record an album on our own. We knew how to mix things from beginning to end on our own. You know, we made this short, and we were just always making things. So when it came to doing a low-budget TV show, it just felt like a longer version of what we were already doing.
You know, what did you learn from that experience that you take with you to working on the new stuff? Because, you know, having your own show is something that a lot of people dream of, but it's also the experiences behind the scenes and being a part of it. Like you said, you produce it, that, you know, a lot of people just don't get.
Well, this is Ricky. I definitely learned that you have to get the right people around you. Because, you know, some of the people were right people, some people weren't. And so on Another Period, this is my new show, I was very, very, very careful about every writer, every grip, every person we hired. It was a very careful process. So that, you know, it's as long as you, like, have the right group with you, you can make anything happen. But if you get a couple bad apples, it becomes very difficult, and it's just not as fun as it should be.
And also, as a performer, you know, like acting in someone else's project, I became much more aware of time and time in a day, because when you're producing, and you're, you know, everything costs money and time. And I think I'm always just like, the minute they say they're ready, like, I'm on set and like as fast as possible, because I was always in that mode as a producer as well, going, let's get this done, let's get to the next thing. And so I don't think that has left my way of working, which, you know, I'm just always conscious of everyone else's time as well. You know? I know it's just a small thing, but
that's huge. It's interesting because you guys have carved out, obviously you're working on new projects, you got your new shows, things of that nature, but you still, as Garfunkel and Oates, have the ability to write songs for other programs, for other comedians. You're finding different ways to keep together and to continue to write together. Is that the plan?
Yeah, you know, we've been writing animated songs for years, but it's one of those things where it's like non-disclosure agreements. The movies have it. The only one of the movies we wrote a song for came out, which is the SpongeBob movie. But we have other things that we've written for. We're so excited for the world to see, but we've been getting involved in that world, and it's been really fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's lucky to say we love working together, and so like we love when we get assignments for movies and things like that, and also, you know, like creating, you know, our own stuff as well. So I don't know. I think we'll definitely obviously keep working in many different ways. I think we always kind of have, and we just sort of adapt to the next thing, and we pick the next project, and it's always evolving, and it's just, thank goodness, it feels new and fun still.
I mean, it's got to be a thrill. I mean, the ability for you guys to do so many different things with your core product, to be two singers who, you know, comedic duo, to be able to act, to be able to sing, to be able to play ukulele, play guitar, to be able to sell songs to different products. I mean, you definitely have widened your skill set for Hollywood.
Yeah, we're definitely, in the course of doing this band, we went from being sort of jobbing actors to being businesswomen. And because you kind of start realizing when you're making your own thing, like, no one cares as much as you do. And, like, you're going to have to find your next thing. Like, you might get lucky and someone will hand it to you, but in case you don't, you should always be, like, expanding and saying what's next.
Yeah, I mean, kind of going back to that lesson we learned during the writer's strike, is just, like, putting ourselves out there and being seen, you know, even if it was, you know, in the beginning of the YouTube days, like, that helped us so much in our acting careers, you know, and in just becoming better at making our own things. You know, being in control of your own things and putting them out there, it really is so important. And especially if people just starting out, we would say, you know, keep making things.
Both of you have been able to have such a great career at known as, you know, a musical duo. And you think about some of the comedy that's coming out from Tenacious D or from Flight of the Conchords, Judy Tenuta, I think of Weird Al. How familiar were you with the genre of the musical comedy before you guys started and now currently?
I think we were familiar with, like, the big hits. You know, we knew Flight of the Conchords, they had a TV show, and we knew Weird Al and those kind of things, and we loved it. But doing it now for as long as we have, we've learned about so many other people. And it's for me, I respect it and love the musical comedy world so much more.
Yeah, I think, and weirdly, Ricky and I sort of came from the same place, but like our influences were very similar. You know, we're both big Broadway musical fans, and there are so many Broadway comedies that, you know, they're musical comedies. And so we kind of almost came from that place, as well as being, you know, you know, fans of stand-up comedy as well, but kind of combined the things we knew and then, you know, later learned about so many of the deeper cuts, you know?
And watching your stuff and watching your show, I mean, obviously your acting chops help with the performance. I mean, you're not just up there singing songs that you wrote together, you know, in a studio or in your, you know, living room. You obviously have the acting chops to pull that stuff off. How important is it for you guys to be double, triple threats like that?
I guess everything helps. Like any other like iron you can have in the fire helps, I suppose. I never really thought of it like that, but thank you. Yeah, certainly the acting chops was very nice.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's going to be a lot of musicians who will come out and be able to play and make witty, funny songs. But how you perform it, you know, that a lot of times they don't think about that. They sit on a bench and they play it. But in your case, you know, there's as much attention that's paid to, you know, hitting the jokes or hitting the parts or what you look like on stage than the music.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it took us a while to find it. I mean, From the start, we were having a great time, and thankfully people were coming out to see us. But I would say it was a good 2 years of us touring before we gelled in a way that I don't even think we would have expected. It took us to another place. We were spending so much time together and doing shows every night for so many years. And then just something happens that you, like, all of a sudden almost you just have one brain. And there's, like, it's kind of this amazing thing. So yeah, I mean, I think also just all of those hours, you know, plugging away and finding random theaters, I think it really helped us as performers, especially together at the duo.
Well, what are we going to see on Sunday at the City Winery? What can we expect people who are coming out to see you guys?
It's going to be so much fun. I feel like playing at a winery is just going to, like, turn the whole thing up. I mean, you'll see dirty, funny songs, and we tell stories from our lives that sort of lead into the songs. And we also sometimes just talk about what we did that day. We improv. It's sort of a mix of stories and songs.
It's a great time. We kind of just try to feel like we're, like, performing for people in our living room, and it really becomes a community kind of thing. It's really fun.
You know, for you guys, you've had the ability to play yourselves in fictionalized experiences on not only on stage but also in your TV show and along the way. Does it get kind of confused about what's the character and what's real when you get up on stage, especially when you're dealing with some of the sensitive material you're dealing with?
I think in a TV show, Kate and I actually are alike in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of ways we overlap. But for the show, we sort of focused on the ways we were different. And on stage, we kind of get to do both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, I mean, we're very honest on stage, and we do tell true stories, like Ricky said, of what maybe just happened that day or you know, from our lives. And but yeah, it's definitely a little bit more raw to see us perform live, and I think you probably get to know us a little bit better.
All right, well, Garfunkel and Oates will be at the City Winery on Randolph Street this weekend, this Sunday. Ricky Lindholm, Kate Micucci, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us, and have a great show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.